Okay, so tonight's the first year on Bishwa, as I was saying. And the first thing we're going to do is briefly sort of is try to define the Melacha, and then we'll get into the most, as we'll see, I think the first application of it, which relates to using hot water on Shabbat. Okay? All right. So the Gemara tells us in the Mishnah on top of page number one, stop me if you're not sure where I am, the Mishnah lists all the 39 Melachot, and the end of a series of 11 melachot, which is known as sidur depat, the process of making bread, is what's known as, it says you knead it, right? And then, what do? Va'ofe, right? You take everything and then you bake it. Gemara is a whole discussion. Is this baking? Is this cooking? And for our purposes, we're going to assume that baking and cooking, meaning afia and bishol, are the same. For now, okay? Whereas for now, as we'll see, this actually becomes very significant as we go along, that there might be differences between bishul, which is usually defined as cooking with some form of water base, afia, which is sort of dry, and tzlia, which is roasting or grilling. Okay, but for our purposes right now, let's just leave it aside. Let's leave those distinctions aside. The Gemara in Ayin Dal Amabet gets into the following discussion. Rav Acha bar Rav Avira, Hayman yeshada sichta latuna. If a person throws a tent peg, right, or a peg which is a little moist, into an oven in order to dry it, so chayiv mishum avasha. So we say that they are violated the issur d'oraisa of bishul. Gemara says that's obvious. Maru teima. He said no. You might have thought the shruim malikam mechaven. That person was coming to strengthen it. That the way it works is that first it softens the peg, and only later on it comes to harden it. Okay. Now, what seems to be implied by the Hava Mina and then the result, as Rashi points out, is that it seems that the definition of bishul is cooking something in which the process caused some form of softening of the object. Okay. So, for example, in a case of food, usually when you cook, so in some form or another, it softens it. Now, one of the interesting things about bishul is that bishul also applies to non-food items, as you see from here, right? The tent peg is obviously not being consumed, and the isser applies with regard to metals and other things as well. So for our purposes, if you stick a metal stoke into a burning fire, right, and it creates coals, right? Or it creates, not coals, what's what I'm thinking about? Embers, thank you very much. In other words, it heats it to a certain point. That's bishul as well. In other words, bishul doesn't only have to be in the realm of food, right? It can also be in with other non-food items as well. And there's a whole discussion here exactly how to define it and the Rambam's definition, but I won't get so detailed in it. But the key factor here is that basically you're using something to change it, okay? In other words, it's going to get changed, seemingly by being softened, possibly then becoming harder, but then being softened, through fire. Okay? Now, I'm emphasizing through fire right now because we'll see, what about other heat sources? For example,
the sun.
Or, alternatively, how else might you heat things today? Electricity or?
Microwave,
right? Okay, in other words, so there are other mechanisms, but for now, obviously the Gemara didn't talk about microwaves, but we'll see what, right now we're talking about ish.
Just going back to the question of softening things. Typically baking is just the opposite, it makes things harder.
Oh, so there is a whole discussion which we'll get into another time, but the Rambam's definition is, let's say you want to make toast. Okay, you take a little soft piece of bread and then you throw on the plata, which just makes it harder. Right? So is there an issue here of bishul at all? I don't want to get into it right now, but...
You can some meat.
It
could be, it starts off soft, and you stick it on the barbecue, for example.
So the question is what the assumption... I'm sorry, yeah. The question in part is how much we assume there to be an element of... how much we assume there to be an element here of softening and then hardening. In other words, the Mishnah Berurah seems to want to assert, a source I didn't give you, that basically it always starts off softening out and then gets harder. Whether that's true or not. Again, this is just for our definition. The purpose I'm trying to get across here is that you have fire that's causing some form of change in the object for our purposes for now. Okay? Now, Another implication of this, by the way, based on this example, is something which we saw previously, which is, let's say you have very wet clothing. Right? So can you put the wet clothing up against the burner or against a radiator? Right? So the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rishon LeMordechai, brings in Shin Aleph Mem Vav, Begadim Ashurim B'mayim, Asur LeNagvam Samach L'Esh. Why can't you do that? Because the presumption is that if it's really right up against the fire, then the fire will heat the water inside of it, right, to a certain heat known as the Yadzaletabo, which for our purposes right now, let's just call it 45 degrees Celsius, okay, just for our purposes right now. And 45 degrees Celsius, is that right? Yes, 45 degrees Celsius. Yeah, yeah. And therefore, that's also an issue as well. In other words, so you're worried about heating any form of liquid or object, whatever it might be, with a fire up to a certain temperature, by a minimum temperature. The minimum temperature, as we'll see momentarily, is known as the Yad Soledibo. Okay, Yad Soledibo is a temperature in which people would touch something and they'd move back their hand. Words, it causes a person to move their hand back. Okay, which there's a whole discussion of what temperature that is and how to quantify that. But for our purposes right now, let's assume it to be 45 degrees Celsius. Good? Okay, basic definition. Now, there is also a little bit of an interesting discussion which I won't get too stuck on, which is, what do we care about here? Do we care about the process of cooking, or do we care about the result of something which is cooked? I'll give you an example. Right? This is more of a theoretical discussion, but let's say, since Brett's here, so let's pick Brett. Brett, let's say Brett forgets it Shabbos. Okay? You know, it was one of those crazy weeks. He wakes up Shabbos morning, right? You've been there before, right? And all of a sudden he goes and starts planting some seeds. He's doing it from the get-go, planting seeds for grass. And then he realizes, it was Shabbos. So what does he do now?
Gets back in his car.
Gets back in his car, yeah. So what do you do? So you might say what Brett should do at that moment is he should just take out the seeds out of the ground. Okay. Now, there's an interesting discussion, which is that in general, when it comes to planting, if you think about it, when you plant something on Shabbat, what do you actually do? What happens? Nothing really, just in the ground, right? It takes some time, right? Brett will correct me if I'm wrong, but in many cases, right, it takes some time for something to happen. So many understand that, therefore, that when it comes to Zorea, the actual Isser is just planting in the ground. It's not causing any form of result. So there's sort of a consequent, sort of analogous question with regard to Bishul. When it comes to Bishul, what do we care about here? Do we care about the fact that you put something, when you cook something, technically speaking, the action which you do is very little. Why is the action which you do very little? Because you just put it in. Nothing's happened at that moment. You throw it in the oven and that's it. But you weren't directly involved. So there's a whole discussion. I'll give you an example. Let's say you put something in on Shabbos ends at 8 o'clock, let's say, and you put it in at 7:49. So in those 11 minutes, nothing's really happened. Have you violated the Isser of Shabbat or not? Some say yes, some say no, and it depends. Do we care about the action or do we care about the result? As we move along, we'll see some consequences of it. I'm just throwing it out from the get-go, something to think about. When we think about this action of Bishul, of putting something, right, to change it in the fire, right, by fire, what's exactly the nature of the Isser? Now, the most important question in the theoretical realm is, what are we defining this as? In other words, what's being accomplished? What's the goal of this malacha? In general, you always think about, when I do a malacha, right, define a malacha, what's the goal? So we saw in Bora, what's the goal in Bora?
To separate,
right? And what's the goal? Libun, right? To clean, right? So what's the goal here in Bishul? And I'll give you an example. Let's say I have water, and I cook water. So what did I have beforehand?
Cold water.
Cold water. What do I have afterwards?
Hot
water. Boiling water. But still water. I have an apple. Before I had an apple, now I have a hot apple. Cooked apple, right? Have I really changed anything? Is there anything really fundamentally different? Or not. Okay.
Not in itself, but maybe the application of it.
What do you say?
Maybe the application rather than the item itself. So cold water to hot water, you want a hot drink. So having tea, cold tea, isn't really realistic thing to do.
So this whole element, right, is a discussion, right? As you're saying, basically, hot water has a different identity than cold water. You can make that argument. So there's a whole discussion. I'm sorry, break my system. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so there's a whole discussion. Take a look at the middle of page number one. Shabbos Mem Amud Bet has a whole discussion. What's the story with like oil or water? Things that are basically perfectly usable in a non-cooked state. Okay, and the end result, and there's a whole discussion about this back and forth, but the end result is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Echad Shemad Echad Mayim Yad Seledibo. If you heat it to the point of Yad Seledibo, right, which the Gemara is going to come to say, we'll define it later on, but there's a, you move back your hand, then it's Asur Ein Yad Seledibo Mutar. Okay, this is important. If you had a very minimal flame, okay, and you put water right up against it, and it cannot heat the water, the flame, cannot heat the water to the temperature of 45 degrees Celsius, can you violate the Isser, at least certainly the Raisa of Bishol? No. But if that heat source, let's say for now it's a fire, can heat the water to this point, even though beforehand it was water, afterwards it is water, right? Nonetheless, the Gemara concludes, right, that this is the violation of the Isser de Araita. Okay? Or at least violate the Isser. There is a little bit of a discussion here in practice. Well, you know, do we really think this is de Araita or is it maybe only de Rabbana? Okay, the Rambam in his formulation here, take a look on the third source on the bottom page number one, says as follows. Hamavasha ala or davar shaya mavusha kot zorcha. Let's say I cook something. I put something up against fire, which is already fully cooked. Right? There is, I had a piece of chicken, which is cooked. And now I put it on a fire. I'm not talking about plato. I'm talking about real fire. Okay? Right? Or alternatively, I had something which doesn't need to be cooked at all. Let's say water, right? Or an apple. Right? So the Rambam says that here as Lashon is patur. Patur usually means patur of alasr, meaning that you do not violate the Isser deraita, meaning you'd be exempt from bringing a korban, but you do violate Isser derabana. Okay? Now, in this next halacha, though, in the next one, he discusses the case of water, and there in water, he talks about being an Isser deraita. So it's a whole discussion amongst the Achronim in various forms and other. Is cooking, for example, water deraita or derabana? Is cooking apples or cooking oil? Is that deraita or derabana? For as a general rule, we assume it to be deraita, as you see in the bottom of the page.
Well, we're only talking about heating it up, not Yad Seledibo.
No, to the point of Yad Seledibo. Okay. Yeah, to the temperature of Yad Seledibo. Again, when I'm referring to Bishul now, let's make it clear, when I'm referring to cooking, I'm referring to cooking something, heating something to the point where it gets to the temperature of Yad Seledibo, roughly defined as 45 degrees Celsius. Okay. So if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch formulation at the bottom here, he says as follows. Of a asur lekarvo, you cannot take, let's say, a pitcher of water or anything else like that. El esh lemakom sheachol litchamem shetihei yatzur ledebo. You cannot put water, and the Ramah adds afterwards, or fruit or other things that are eaten raw, next to a flame in which, in theory, it could get to the temperature of yatzur ledebo. So let me explain an application of this. Right? Now, this is important definition here because we're saying not only in practice, but even in theory. So let's say I had a fire going in my fireplace, and I wanted to put a bottle of water next to it just to remove the chill. Right? Can you do that? So the Shulchan Aruch says, no, even though you are not going to actually get it to the point of Yad Seledibo, as long as in theory, the heat source, if you leave it there, could make it to the point where it gets to the temperature of Yad Seledibo, that is usher to do derabanan. And if it actually gets to the point of Yad Seledibo, then it becomes deraita.
Does it have to be in the location where it can become, or does it have to be nearby? For example, like I say, a flame. If a flame, you keep it 5 feet away, the chill will get off. It'll never get the
other. Then it's not. That's mutter entirely.
Has the potential.
That's right. It has to have the potential. So if you put it in a location, you put it, you know, I don't know, a meter away. So the meter away will remove, I'm just theoretical, right? A meter away will remove the chill, right? That's perfectly okay. But as long as you're putting it in a place where, if you leave it there long enough, it will get to the temperature of Yad Seledibo, that you cannot do, right? Which we assume to be, if it gets to that point, is the oraita, even in the case. Now, why do we say this? What's the argument? Why would you say, if you had water beforehand, you have water afterwards, so why would you say that it matters? Why is this significant? They've changed it from one form to another form. So take a look at the top of page number 2. And you'll see the Mishnah Berurah's explanation. And he says, listen, even if something is raw, why is it still asur? The shayach behen shem bisho shehem mishtabchin ayedei zeh. What does that mean? It's bisho if it simply gets improved by being heated to this temperature. In other words, according to this definition, the definition is not creating a new entity. You had an apple beforehand, you had an apple afterwards, right? It was edible either way. But rather, by using fire in order to create a significant change, that is the violation of bisho. Okay, you see this, he explains a little bit further in the Shar HaTzion, where he says, right, that as long as it, third line, shumishtabech ayedei habishul. Right, in other words, it's one thing if something doesn't get improved at all. Right? And this is the way he thinks the Rambam's case was. You had a piece of chicken. It was fully cooked. Now you put it on a fire. So that's only asa derabon. And he says, why? Because you didn't improve it at all. In fact, it may even make it worse, right? It may burn it, right? But you're certainly not cooking it further. It's been fully cooked. But in the case of things which are edible or usable raw, but now that you've put it up to this fire, right? You've heated it to this source, you've improved it. And that, according to him, is a definition of bisho.
So how are you improving water then?
Because you wanted it to be, before, you wanted it to be hot.
But it wasn't raw. Just raw water, still water. Just nothing.
Oh, so you could, right? That's the opposite argument would say, water is water. And his response is saying, no, by making it hot, you improved to the point that you made the water something better via the fire.
It's all very subjective.
It is. You know, but what about the soup? Okay.
Yeah, well, that soup.
It's edible before. It's edible before, it's edible afterwards.
So, we'll...
And cold soup can be good on a hot
day. Next year, 2 years from now. Okay, in other words, you're correct. Whereas this is one of the questions that comes up. If I've cooked something before Shabbat, most people, they cook their chicken soup on Thursday night, Friday, whatever, afternoon, whatever it is, right? And now, I want to cook it on Friday night. I'm not cooking again. It's been cooked already. I'm just heating it. Isn't the difference between heating and cooking? Okay, so we'll get into the whole discussion about this issue. But for our purposes right now, we're going to define it as
changing
it, right? In other words, a shinoi derech ha'esh. Okay, in other words,
he's specific about improving it, not just changing it.
That's right, improving. That's right.
It has been improved by some people's standards.
Okay, so we'll get into a little of these issues. What happens if, you know, it's bad for you in the actuality? In other words, it changes it, but it's not something that you wanted. Okay, there's a...
Well, it may be something you didn't want, but something he
wants. We'll get into a little bit of this as well. Okay, in other words, we're just getting warmed up here. But correct, you're asking all the right questions. And then in terms of... What did I say?
Getting warmed up.
Oh, no, that was not intended to be a pun. No, I never go that low. You know, there's a certain rabbinic sense of humor out there that sort of, you know, thrives on puns. Someone once explained to me, why do rabbis always go to puns? Listen, rabbis, they can't, you know, make Lashon Hara jokes, at least from the pulpit, right? I mean, probably, but pulpit, right? You can't do that. Huh? And they can't, you know, what else are the jokes? There's certain jokes about, like, groups, political people, whatever it might be, but that insults some congregant. Dirty jokes are obviously out of the picture, so what's left? You're basically left with puns. Now, I thought that was a little bit of a narrow view of what humor might be, but okay. But in any case, I did sign up for a listserv once. I was going to be a scholar in residence, and I signed up for a email listserv of Jewish jokes. Figuring, you know, maybe this would help me for scholar and residence gigs. In fact, I even wrote the guy, I'm speaking about this topic. Do you have a joke you can send me? He sent me like 8 jokes, all of which were
awful.
One was more awful than the next.
Were they appropriate?
Huh? Appropriate, but just awful. And basically, I just decided I'd start the drasha straight, get right to the meat, no jokes, no nothing, whatever. You never know, in scholar residence, does it work? One person thanked me, said, oh, you know, all these rabbis, they come, they think they're so funny, they're not really funny, it's very good. And then I go home to the people I'm staying with, and the husband couldn't come, he just had surgery, whatever it was, couldn't make it to the show. He says to me, why don't you summarize your drasha? So I started summarizing, he says, just tell me the joke you started with. That's so insulting. Anyway, okay. So for our purposes right now, we'll assume that this is the Reisa, but this is very important. He does note the Mishnah Berurah. this is Ubisius Meir. So it's, well, there is something that if it's edible beforehand, it's only Asa Darabana. Why is this important? Because when we get to the question of heating water on Shabbat, Dud Shemesh, whatever it might be, so one of the factors that gets brought in by some figures, like Rav Avad Yosef, is precisely this issue. If you take a look in the middle of page number 2, you'll see the 37th paragraph of a very long tshuva written by Rav Avad Yosef on the issue of a Dud Shemesh. And amongst the other things he mentions is, by the way, the whole issue of cooking water on Shabbat, according to the Rabbis, it's a very important 16th century posek, is that's only Darabonin anyway. So, Darabonin is the lesser, but there's this greater room, in his mind at least, to be Mekel, because of that factor. Not everyone agrees to that at all, but I'm mentioning it as a factor to keep in mind. Now, this issue about Shinoi, right, or improvement, right, improvement via Eish, comes up in another important context in Bishul, and this will sort of finish our basic introductory categorizations. When you cook something, at what point do we say, ah, oh, this is a cooked object? Right? Think about it, right? When do we say, this thing is cooked? Now, cooking, there are a lot of Isurim related to cooking. Right, give me another example that relates to an Isur of cooking. Cooking related, thing. Like, for example, Bishol Nochri, right? You can't have a lot of Heterim out there, but at the base level, a non-Jew should not cook exclusively. During all the old process, food, certain types of foods for a Jew. I'll leave it at that. There's a whole discussion about this, whatever it might be. Okay, now, at what point would you say, though, that let's say a Jew started the process and the non-Jew takes over? I'm going to head to that anyway. But at what point would you say that if a non-Jew had cooked it, right, this now becomes the issue of Bishul Nochri. If a non-Jew just puts on the fire and cooks it for 2 minutes, nothing's really happened yet. Does that count? Do we care about this or not? Okay? So this is an issue in Hilchot Shabbat as well. Okay? At what point do we say, oh, I've cooked something and now I've violated the Isser? So there's a category which is discussed in the page number 2 here, to see here on the Gemara in Daf Chof Amud Aleph, which is called Machal Ben Drusai. Okay? Ben Drusai seem to be a group of, according to Rashi, a group of bandits. Okay, that basically, and there is the Ben Drusai food, Machal Ben Drusai, right, literally, which is a level of cooking which I guess bandits, maybe because of the haste they're in, or maybe because their general hygiene, or I don't know, whatever it might be.
They like their meat raw.
Okay, as I'm sure in my son's pirate book, this gets discussed. It might be.
Quite fashionable again, by the way.
What?
Having raw meat. Yeah. Market restaurants, you get.
So the question is, how do you define this? What is Michal Ben Drusai? Now, there's a very important significance to this issue, which we'll get to in probably 3 or 4 weeks from now, which is that if a food is cooked machal to the point of machal ben rusai, right, then you no longer, let's say I cooked the food to machal ben rusai levels, which we'll define momentarily, and now I want to keep on cooking it on Shabbos. I started before Shabbos, and I kept on cooking it, I keep on cooking it into Shabbos. Erev Shabbat, I'll keep it. As long as you have cooked it to the point of Machal Ben Drusai, you can keep on cooking it with no other safeguard protections on Shabbat itself. Cholent will be an example of this, and we'll see other there are ways of getting around this issue, right? But Cholent would be a perfect example of this this issue. Now, what is Machal Ben Drusai? So if you take a look at Noah page number 2, you'll see Rashi thinks, Umavashel Bishulo Shlish, meaning it's been cooked to a third cooked. Whereas the Rambam seems to define it as chatzi bishul. It's been cooked halfway, which is the definition that the Shulchan Aruch accepts in the sources belowhand. Even though, if you're really stuck, the Mishnah Berurah points out, you can rely on Rashi's position of being one-third cooked. Now, how do you measure one-third? So the Chazon Ish has this very sort of well-known opinion, which says it's the amount of time. Let's say it takes 90 minutes to cook a chicken. So he says, if you've hit 45 minutes, that's chatzi bishul.
Again, there's cooking, and then there's like, so it's hygienic. It's
Oh, so
cooking to make it taste good.
No, let's say to what you normally cook it at. You know, say let's say what you would normally cook it to this point. Okay, there's a certain amount of subjectivity here. Now, one of the things that people come up, yeah.
But why are we basing halacha on a group of bandits?
And it's interesting. There is why that became significant is momentarily. We'll get to momentarily. But the basic assumption is that the bandits represent the minimum level of saying that this is a cooked object. Why do they say?
You can learn from everyone.
Very, very nice, very nice. Okay. Okay. Brett's got a little homiletics in him. Very good. Okay. So. It's okay. Yeah. Any case, it is a little funny that these bandits. I don't know if everyone agrees that that's the definition as Rashi says. I never looked into it, truth be told. You're right, maybe it is a little bit funny. But in any case, now, there's a larger question as follows. If I've cooked it, now, let's say I've cooked it halfway. Okay, let's assume that's the definition. And now I had something cooked before, and now I want to cook it on Shabbat. Right. I want to take this object, which is cooked to the halfway, and now I want to cook it more and make it fully cooked. Do I violate the Isser of Bishul or not? So think it through.
You're past the point of their size.
So on the one hand, you would say, it's cooked already.
Is there a difference?
One second, but spell the other side of the argument.
You stop the prices and then you carry it on.
That's right.
Not the one was that sort of continuous.
That's right, right. So on the one hand, you say, I've made to the point where it's now an edible piece of meat. Right? But on the other hand, what's the other argument? You could say, well, I don't care if I've made to the point now where it's cooked meat, as long as I'm using this fire in order to improve it, the fact that it went from being half to full is a significant improvement. Okay? So as a general rule, I mean, we'll see various applications of this, but I'm just trying to spell out the same idea here again. We argue, we say that as long as you improve something, through this fire, when it gets to this level of heat, then that is the violation of Bishul. Okay? Yeah, that's going to be our operating definition. So far, so good? Okay, now. So let's apply this now to water. All right. So based on what we said now, if I simply have, even if I had a pre-burning fire, right, and I start on Shabbat, I had a fire on the flame, I put a pot onto the flame, have I violated the Isser of cooking, Bishul? And the answer is yes, according to most Deraisa, according to some, a few Derabanan, but basically, and why? Because I've now...
Has the potential to get hot enough.
That's right. Especially if I had it, right? I have cooked this. Let's say I bring it to a boil. I have cooked this. I brought it to the temperature of being greater than 45 degrees Celsius, right? And this is a violation of Bishul. Now, until now, we've been focusing and saying we have a fire. And now there are other sources of heat. Okay, now, what are the other sources of the heat?
Sun.
So, you have the sun. Right? Now, what will be an example of the sun? So let's say I'm in Arizona, or maybe even Modi'in, whatever it might be, or South Africa, I presume, or, I don't know, Libya, whatever it might be, right? I'm working from the Mossad, right? And I have a little kiddie pool. I put the kiddie pool out in the lawn and fill it up with some water. And, you know, it's just so hot there that basically it just brings it to a boil. I have no, I'm just theoretically giving an example, right? So have I violated the...
Sorry, yeah, it's a lot of bone, a boil, or...
No, I bring it to the point of Yatsa Ledipo. Sorry. Okay? So, have I violated the Isser of Bishul?
That was never your intention, was it?
No, let's say it was my intention.
Alright, you put it on Shabbos?
You put it on Shabbos. So, this is precisely a discussion which comes up in the Gemara itself. The Gemara discusses all sorts of mechanisms in which people might want to cook something. For example, let's say there is a piece of metal grate that was sitting outside in the sun, and it got really hot. And you decided, this is really hot. Then I'll throw a piece of pita on it, a piece of chicken, an egg, whatever it might be, and order to cook it. Okay. So the Gemara has a whole discussion of putting in sand, putting in a hot cloth or a towel, all sorts of various discussions. I've been on top of page number 3. And basically it says this is usher. Ein notnim beitza b'tzad ha-mecham b'shvil she-titgalgel v'lo yafkena b'sudar. Okay, what's the case here? There's a similar case, second line, in the middle. Ma'ase she'asu anshei Tveria, people of Tveria, ve'hiviu silon shel tzonon l'toch ama shel chamen. Right? Basically, they took some form of pipe and put it into water, whatever it might be, in order to heat that water. And the sages said that if it's on Shabbat, you violate the Isser. In other words, this is what is it? What are we talking about here? For great, so that's not a fire, but what is it instead? The various mechanisms here, right? It's not a fire itself, and it's not the sun, right? There are two extremes. One extreme is having a fire. The second extreme is the sun. Now, there's things in the middle. Things in the middle are basically heating something on something which was heated by a fire, or heating something which is heated on something by the sun. Okay, so for example, let's say the case I had mentioned beforehand, I have a grate sitting out in the sun. Okay? So that's known as toldot chama. You're not cooking it on from the sun. Instead, you're trying to cook something on an object which was heated by the sun. Right? One middle ground. And there's another middle ground. Let's say I had something which was cooked, a metal grate which was on a stovetop. Right? And it was very hot. And then a non-Jew, for his own purposes, came and turned off the fire. So now I have a burning hot grate. Which then I say, oh, perfect, I will now put on, something that I can cook on this. Okay? And it can get to that temperature. So that is called toldot or. Meaning, it's not an or, it's not an ish, it's not a fire itself, but it's a heat source which is a result of, right, of a fire. So basically you have four categories. You have ish or, todot or, todot chama, and chama. Good? Okay, so what's usher and what's allowed? So the Gemara tells us as follows in Daf Lamed Tamud Aleph, second source from the top on page number 3. That's a whole discussion, and basically says, Bachama, with regard to sun, the kuli ame lo pli yidishari. If you cook something directly in the sun, everyone agrees there's no isser whatsoever. The isser of bishul involves ish, fire. But not the sun. The sun is not ish. As the Rashi explains, the ein derech bishulo bakach, this is not the way, right, in which we do bishul. Right? It's like a super shinoi, what we've discussed in previous shiurim as well. It's just a totally different way of doing things. Now, toldot or, but if it's something which is hot, not from the fire itself, but it's hot because it was sitting on a fire, like a metal grate that was on the stovetop, kuli ama lo pligi di usser. Everyone agrees that that is usser. You can't use that. And according to many, it's even usser deraita. Ki pligi, where there's a discussion, the Mishnah has to deal with the following case, toldot achama. What about something which was became hot because it was sitting out in the sun and then you cook it on there. Mar savar gazrinin tolot hachama atu tolot haor. There are those who say that we say, well, we don't want people to get confused between tolot hachama and tolot haor, and therefore we make it aser derabanan to use something for tolot hachama. Mar savar lo gazrinin. And some say, we don't care. How do we pass it? L'chumra. And therefore, in Shulchan Aruch brings down, fourth source of page number 3, Kishem she'asur levashel ba'or, just as it's forbidden to cook in the fire, kach asur levashel b'todot ha'or. You go on the ten b'tza k'deira. You can't put, let's say you had a hot water heater, and now you had a raw egg. You want to put it on the raw egg on the hot water boiler in order to cook it. So again, it's not directly on the heat source, but it's on the metal walls or roof top of the boiler. I'm sorry?
Very common thing. Not a lot of
what, put eggs on it?
Not eggs necessarily, but other food items on the Shabbat.
Yes, but that's presumably usually previously cooked items. This is something different. We're talking about a non-cooked item right now. Yeah, remember. For now, we're talking about something which is non-cooked. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. That is us. Now, no, that's very important. That's going to be mutter. What you just described is going to be mutter, Duran. Just tell you. In other words, if I didn't have a plat on, I had a hot water boiler on, and I just want to warm up my chicken. That's going to be mutter. We'll discuss why in the coming shiur. Okay? V'afilu, in the middle of the second line there, v'afilu b'tolot hachama, kagon sudar shachum b'chama, asur gzera atu tolot hachor, etc., etc. In other words, even for some sand or a handkerchief, something that was out in the sun, that's very hot, you wanted to wrap it in it, That would still be usher to do, but that's only usher derabana. Okay. So now, we got the rules down. Right? If you cook something in a fire, right, to yatzle the boat, that temperature, or from the toldota or usher deraisa, toldota chama derabanan, the sun itself, mutter entirely. Okay. So now let's
we're
go.
We're only talking about things that are raw, essentially, right? Have not been cooked.
That's right. Only talking about now things that have not been cooked at all. We'll get into the issue of if there's something called bishul achar bishul. Can you cook something after it's an already been cooked? Which we'll get into in the fourth.
And putting something on something that's been heated by the sun is actually mutter, but it's also because people might get confused.
That's right. Asa derabanan. Meaning.
It's kind of weak, I
think.
I mean, you're saying you can use the sun, but then you can't take it a step further. Usually when you take something a step further, it becomes less stringent.
Well, no. There is the... Oh, yeah, you could say that, right? No, that seems to be the argument.
You're taking it away from the source. And...
Interesting. I mean, that seems to be the argument for Biyosi, which the Biyosi thought was mutter. And the rabbis make gzera, like they make many other gzerot. You can make argument. I hear the argument. Yeah.
Toldot or is when you heat some, when you cook something on something that's been heated by the sun, right?
Toldot chama.
Toldot chama.
Right.
And if it was a device like a mirror that's using the sun, but it's not, you're not putting it on, leaving it heated, you're not using actual direct sunlight, but
yes, there is a discussion. Let's say about cooking with a
solar
heater. What's that?
A solar heater.
No.
Reflecting sun.
From a mirror. You put a mirror and then you put it on there.
Literally,
put
it on
a
solar heater.
What's that?
Yeah.
Which I forgot. There is a discussion about this, and I just forgot the whole discussion. I mean, you can see the stars in both directions. You can say that's where the sun.
Right.
Or you can say, that's right. And this discussion about it, I forgot, I just have to remember to look it up. Okay. So now, in your regular, let's go through water systems on Shabbat. Okay, now, when we had a Junkers, and we live in Yerushalayim, a Junkers is basically, what's a Junkers, Benji?
Junkers?
Gas, right, gas. You have a little...
Oh,
really?
Pilot light.
Good to know.
It's like a
pilot light. It's a pilot light, right? It's a little pilot light. And then when you open up the hot water faucet, it basically...
turns on the device.
The flame goes, boom, right? And it heats everything up. Now, you can literally, pardon me, Shalim, basically every time you're turned on the hot water, you hear this, flame jumping up. It's sort of cool if you're into, pyromaniac or something like that. But in any case... Right, so that is obviously usher. Why is that usher on Shabbat? Forget about heating the water. You're just throwing up the fire. Your flame going there, right? Okay, so that's one method. Now, that is, by the way, one of the classic methods of providing hot water. Now, there is a discussion which I'm not so familiar with on a logistical level. That there used to be this claim that basically, let's say in this is more applicable in Chutz Laaretz, but let's say you lived in all these high apartment buildings in New York City, okay? And so they got to provide water all the time there. The majority of the residents are non-Jews. So maybe there wouldn't be a problem there because the flame would always be going. There was such an argument. I've been told by people that the technology has changed and that's no longer the case, and I have no idea if that's true, but you see the argument. The argument would be if the flame is always being constant flame going there, then...
The water's still going to get heated, though, by it, whether or not you're changing the flame.
So
It's a permanent flame.
It might be a permanent flame. The question is, though, but every time you increase the water, you might cause more cold water to come in. That's the argument against it. I just don't know the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, but the issue in the regular local house is just forgetting about the hot water issue, you're just getting a flame going there. Okay. Now... but of course, in addition to starting the flame, you're also cooking water at that moment. Okay? In other words, you have both issues here, right? Which might be the issue in a big apartment building as well. Now, I think the most common ways of providing water, and this is a relative recent development, Israel basically realized that in order to save energy, they need to take advantage of the sun. Right? This is a big deal. And so, I think in the 60s and 70s, there was a big push to sort of take advantage of solar energy. And now it's by law, you have to, any new building, private housing anyway, has to have a duchemish installed. Okay, that's that's a basic Israeli regulation, as well as a pioneer in many ways in using the technology. Now, there are two sort of basic systems here. Oh, one second. As we go along here, I'll just hand these out. Now, you have one is which is solar energy, and the second is the boiler, right? There's that little red button, okay? There's, I think most of us probably, certainly Modin, in your buildings, so we have a Dud Shemesh which works, which provides solar heat and hot water when it's hot and sunny, and then when it's not, you set a timer, whatever it is, and you use the boiler to heat up the water, right? Is that more or less?
Yeah.
We have? Okay. So, let's talk about the boiler for a second, right? How does a boiler work? Let's say it's, you know, probably the weather today, whatever it is. It's hot, you know, it's cold and whatnot, and you have a boiler. So how does this play itself out, right? So you put on a boiler. Let's say you put the boiler on. What's the boiler do? You have a tank of water on top of your roof. And let's say you even heated it before Shabbos, right? And now you want to turn on the hot water on Shabbat. So what happens? So, it was heated before Shabbos.
And it's water now on or off?
What's saying?
Is it on or off?
It's off.
Well, hot water comes out, the cold water comes in, but nothing
happens. Oh, so let's think it through now. When you, now, you have this hot water, which you heated through an electric source, which is either probably H for our purposes. Okay, let's assume that's H. You okay? Okay, good. All right, so you had an electric source. An electric source, and which heated this water, and now you are now the whole system's off, right? As you said, not to work at all. And now, what do? You open up your hot water faucet, which causes
cold water to drop in.
Hot water come out, but then it also causes cold water to
come
into the thing. Now, what ends up happening is that a little bit of cold water
gets heated up.
Now, it gets heated up by water, which was heated by a flame, right? So basically what you're doing when you open up your hot water right thing is you're basically causing cold water to get cooked.
Or hot water to cool down.
Oh, so, okay. So now, so there's a little discussion. So take a look. If you take a look.
Any cold water is going to reduce the overall temperature.
Okay, so, very good. So, if you take a look in Rav Melamed here on Mayim Midud Chashmal. Take a look at page 216. 216. Right? So you'll see, everyone see this on page 216? Okay. So you'll see here, he gets into the whole discussion. Last paragraph. Lachen asur leftoch b'shabbat dezer m'mayim hachamim m'sha'a shadud po'el. Aval im kivu et hadud chashmal lefnei ha-shabbat, הדין תלוי בשאלה. האם המים הקרים, I'm in the second paragraph, שיכנסו לתוך הדוד, יתבשלו. שאם המים החמים שיוצאים מן הדוד לא התאים, עד שלא נותן לגוע בהם, אסור לפתוח את הברז חיים עם המים החמים. Whereas it really says it depends. Just how hot, right, is the water in the dude at that point. Right? Whereas, and it says, well, obviously, depending on how hot it is, every time you add some cold water to hot water, what ends up happening? The cold water gets heated, but the hot water also gets cooled a little bit, right? Now, so he points out correctly, right? That just in practice, this is just a matter of how does your system work, right? Which is now he brings out all sorts of factors of suffix, whatever it might be, but the truth is that if you have a good heating system, it should keep the water quite hot for a while. Now,
the cold water comes in from the bottom.
What's that?
The water comes out from the top.
Right.
Sometimes the water that's cold coming in, the difference in temperature is so large that the top might be outside the boat, but the bottom won't.
Okay, so he discusses this. So is this a factor? Is it a question of reality of just how it works? The general assumption I think most people end up doing is assuming that the water is hot enough to cook, the water goes in. Because remember, most times when you put in, like you take out a little bit of hot water, so the water that comes back in it is a little bit amount. Now, he points out the following. Let's say, though, Let's think about a scenario like this. You heated your water in the winter time. Erev Shabbat, you turned off the boiler. Okay? And now it's Shabbos afternoon. By Shabbos afternoon, there's been a certain amount of cooling down, right, of the whole thing. And let's say you needed a lot of water then, for whatever reason. So if you keep the water running for long enough, what ends up happening?
All the hot water comes out.
All the hot water comes out, and then the cold water is increased. So the cold water gets increased, and what happens, basically, it doesn't heat up that much, because the water right at that point isn't that hot. The cold water that's coming in is a lot. And therefore, there's a good reason to think that, you know, it's not that hot. But again...
That would be the case then, even if it's right, I mean, after Shabbos comes in, the water's boiling hot, you open the faucet till, you know, 50, 60, 70% of the water comes out.
Correct. 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 Now, there's a little bit of a discussion. At what point do we say, yes, but at those first drops of water, they got heated right away? And there is, but the assumption is that if you keep the flow going all the times. So he has a little bit of a discussion. I told you before, Vilama is a straight shooter. In most of the posts can discuss it, listen, you shouldn't use a boiler on Shabbat. You shouldn't use any hot water that was heated from a boiler on Shabbat, because the chances, you know, the high probability of a risk of it being still hot in there. Vilam points out, correctly so, that, you know, that might not always be the case, and you can sort of test this during the week. And you could test it, right? Whereas you could do is Monday. So tomorrow you can heat your water for an hour and a half from 3 to 4, let's say the hours before Shabbos, and then don't heat it until Wednesday afternoon, and see what happens when you put, you know, how much hot water is there.
Yeah, the whole discussion is going to be in terms of the solar heat. I mean, the solar heat is going to screw up the experiment, though.
Well, if there's no solar, it depends on how. Right, it depends on...
You can't override the solar.
Right, that's true. Right, can't override the solar. That's true. I assume it's a cloudy and a rainy day. Right? It's hard to test it. This is the problem. You see all the problems. Now, he also has a very sort of interesting and novel idea. It says as follows. Let's say you needed lukewarm water on Shabbat. I don't know, whatever reason. Okay, you thought you needed lukewarm water. So he said, well, let's say you didn't heat the water on Erev Shabbat at all. So you didn't have hot water there anymore. And you set your timer. There's a lot of people have on their boiler timer system. That's a good idea, right? To go on for like 15 minutes, maybe like 3 hours. Now, if it's on for 15 minutes and it's a big tank, what ends up happening? It doesn't really get warm. I mean, it gets warm, but it doesn't get to Yad Soledibo. And for sure, when you open the hot water, what's going to happen? The cold water will come in, and then the hot water, the quote-unquote hot water, won't be able to cook it to Yad Soledibo because it's not that hot in the first place. So he, like I told you, he's a straight shooter and tells you all the various kulot that you might want to employ. What can I tell you? I would not recommend it. Meaning, I would recommend if your heat source for water is a boiler, then you should not open the hot water faucet on Shabbat.
But his logic is wrong in there. Meaning, if you turn on 15 minutes and then it's off for an hour and then turn it back on, you very well might continue. You could.
So he says not every hour. He says do 15 minutes and do 3 hours. He says kama shot. Again,
it depends on how well your dude is insulated. I mean, it could hold the heat and.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of.
There's a lot of ifs here. But I'm only showing you this because I think it's important to see the logic that he's working with to explain the principle.
Warm water. There's no way. It's only going to keep it warm. It won't keep it any more than warm. So you're not going to be. It's not a problem anyway.
Well, right. It just depends. I mean, Benji's pointing out. Depends on how well your system works.
Whatever the system is.
Right. In theory, these are things they check. Now, what Somet has done, I haven't seen it in practice, but I know that Somet is advertising. You know, Somet Institute in Alon Shavuot also have technology and halacha stuff. So they claim that they can set up your Dud Shemesh, if it's a certain type of Dud Shemesh, so that way on Shabbat, it will never get to the heat of Yad Soledibo. But it'll get warm.
There's a thermostat on the Dud.
All right, so they regulate it. Now, like for example, many contemporary Dud Shemeshes work in a way they have a safety mechanism. Right. So it can never get that hot. It drives us up the wall because I want some hot water in my sink. And I've never had hot water in my sink since I moved in. And this year, I think it's going to inspire me to finally do something about it. But in any case, right, but there is, you know, it's... Everyone's got their own system and how it works, but you have to check, because even if it doesn't get down to the the first floor, it suddenly gets hot. And the second floor, the water, every system is different. But I'm just pointing out, and the reason why I'm going discussing this at length is discuss that in theory, it's possible that you might say the dude, even on a boiler, would be a problem. But the question is, it's a little bit difficult.
The entire furnace may not be getting to Yatsalatabo, but the water closest to the heat element likely is. I mean, is that not a concern? Or you look at the furnace as a whole?
I mean, it depends on how the whole system works, how much water is there. Because that's a good argument. Right? It should be in theory.
Right, if you're talking about the first drops coming in,
you turn a kettle on, you look at the elements, all around the elements is going to get...
It's going to boil. Right.
This is his argument, right? You must have thought about that. That's too obvious now. Think of it. I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good point. All right, I gave you the read. You can read it at home, whatever it might be. It's an interesting argument. But the general rule of thumb, I think, which most people do in practice, which is correct, is not to use a water when the hot water system when the water was heated by a boiler. Now, what about solar? Right, Dud Shemesh, when it's being used by the solar panels. So I have here a copy of Shemirat Shabbat Kehilchata, which you're looking at here. It says Dud Shemesh on the top here. It got cut off. Shemirat Shabbat Kehilchata Madur Rishonah, the first edition. Okay. And this is, there are a few changes between the first and second editions, and now a third edition. Okay? Everyone see the copy of it? Daron, you have it? Looks like this. It says, Dud Shemesh. Okay, this is Shemirat Shabbat Kehilchata. Take a look at Chof Tet. Mutar lotzi maim chamim midud shemesh, gam im hamaim nitchamamu bo b'shabbat, ve'afilu im nechassim mukamam maim karim ladud, u'minchamamim aradei hachamim. It is permissible to use... Take out hot water from Dud Shemesh. Even if the water is heated on Shabbat, and even when you do that, cold water will enter into the system and boil. That's what it says in the first edition. Take a look at the second edition, on the other side of the page. Mem hey. Tov lehima nem elotzi b'Shabbat mayim chamim Dud Shemesh. Im nechassim mekumam ladud mayim chamim behem mitchamim adei chamim. It is, now look at this lashon here. It is good to avoid. It says it's good to avoid taking out water on from a Dud Shemesh on Shabbat.
Okay. Why is it not asr midrabanan
then? Okay, so let's now think this through. Now, you tell me why it should be asr midrabanan.
Because we said that anything that's heated by something that has been heated by the sun is asr midrabanan.
Okay, and therefore what?
So... I'm guessing that the water is not being directly heated by the sun, but it's being heated by something which is being heated by the sun.
Okay, so good. So take a look at middle page number 3. I have a couple of diagrams here. Now, these are models of different eras a little bit, but, relatively recent, but they're not exactly the same model I have here. And I have here on the bottom of page number 3 a Hebrew description of how a Dud Shemesh works. Benji's now going to explain it to us. Benji, go ahead.
I won't do it based on what's here, but basically you have the solar panels, which right. get very hot.
You see the solar panels here, right? And look on the diagram on the right side, okay?
And there are pipes in there. Inside the pipes could be water, could also be other types of liquids that get very, very hot.
Right, you see the middle of the page here, you see the middle of the right diagram, you see the pipes there, okay?
And those pipes will enter into the furnace where the water is. And that's on the left side, you see the coil, I guess, where the hot water comes in or the hot liquid comes in that's been heated by the solar panels and will heat the water that's in the furnace itself.
Okay. Very good. All right. Now, so the question is, go ahead.
The tank that's up there is full of what? Cold water or hot?
Full of water. It depends on exactly what the state of it is, but it has water in it. And what's in the pipes are very, very hot. And those are what's heating the water that's in the furnace.
So if it's cold, if the sun's out there, and then there's hot water in the pipes and it's getting cold, then the hot water in the pipe is what's heating up the cold water in the tank?
Correct.
What's the purpose of the coil?
That's hot water.
That's your heat element.
I'm not sure.
I think it is just thermodynamics that it's coming in hot, going in cold, and there's just a natural flow. I'm not entirely sure that is. I think if you look
here on the diagram, it will show you here the following. As you see, let's look at the left diagram. Right, it says, can you sat mayim on the right side? It says, can you sat mayim chamima kotim? The hot water comes in on the top.
Right, so it's sat mayim karim.
Right, see over there?
Down, doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, eventually it's cooling. I mean, as it's the transfer of heat from the what's it, the water's in the pipes, it actually will cool off the things that's in the pipes.
So the water
pipes
in the pipes
itself.
Is not what you get in your faucet.
Not at all.
It's a closed circuit.
Correct. It's a closed circuit.
Okay.
And oftentimes it's actually not water. I think they actually don't use water. They use fluids that are... Right.
I would imagine that would be a little dangerous, so it'll leak.
What's that?
They don't leak.
No, I don't think that's not your word. You're not worried about that leaking. It'll break first.
Okay, so now, there was a tshuva. Now, if you take a look in the first edition of Shema Shabbat Kei Ochata, okay? So you will see here, okay? So you will see here the following. He has a long footnote Samach Zayin, where he gets into a great length discussing all of the reasons why it should be mutter, okay? And his basic thesis goes something along the lines like this. What do we have here? Well, first of all, he quotes in Tzitz Eliezer, Eliezer Waldenberg, a very important posek, who felt that this wasn't total tachama, this was just simply chama. Whereas this is basically being heated, right? The water is being heated by the sun. Now, you could argue on that two different ways. They say that the reality is, well, no, it's not being heated by the sun, right? It's actually being heated by energy which has been taken from the sun.
I don't understand how you can argue it's being heated by the sun.
No, I think some of the old Dut Shemesh actually did, was directed.
Oh, so some of the old Dut Shemesh just seem to be the Ma'a when he first wrote about this. But even if you don't say that, you might argue and say, and this relates to your little looking glass thing, right? You could say that really what essentially this is doing is that it's not... There's, what we're doing here, we're not using necessarily just hot pipes, we're using energy from the sun, and you're transforming that energy into heat, right? And maybe that's considered to be as if it was the sun itself. You could stretch a little bit of an argument about that, but that's not very compelling. And therefore, a number of poskim basically said, well, you know, at the end of the day, this is Tolat HaChama, and this is Asa Derabbanan. Right? Which is why that even though, you know, people get all upset, oh, in Shemir HaShavak Yochata, he switched to the second, you know, he made a machmer. Maybe he was actually looking at the technology again, perfectly reasonable. Technology is also developed over time, and therefore, you know, this is usher. If we take a look at page number 4, you'll see the write-up of Rav Yatzri Mon from Alon Shvuk, where he discusses this issue, and he basically makes this point and says, it's very hard not to say that this is not Tolat HaChama. Okay? Now, again, how is it Tolat HaChama? What's the problem? Again, the problem is that the water is being heated by the Tolat HaChama, right? And then when you take out hot water, more cold water comes in and that gets heated by it. That's the central problem. Now, there was a different argument to be made. And this was an argument which the Shemir Shabbat Yochata seems to have argued initially, if you take a look back on this footnote, where he basically says as follows. Oh, one second. Yeah.
Hold on, just sorry.
Hold on, one second. Okay, now, where one of the arguments he basically said was, well, the whole Gzeira, what was the whole reason of the Gzeira of Tolat HaChama? That you might come to think that if Tolat HaChama is allowed, then also Tolat HaEish is allowed. And he said, well, maybe this is just so different. This system is so different than what the Chazal had in mind, that the Gzeira doesn't apply. But what caused the Rosh Shmuel Shabbat Kei Ochata to change his mind, he writes here in the footnote to the second edition here, and he says, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, a very significant posek, Kuf Chav Zayin, footnote Kuf Zayin on the bottom says, since you have situations where sometimes the whole system works through a boiler. When does it work through a boiler? When it's cloudy, let alone in the winter, right? He says, listen, this is a perfect example. We have a system where the system itself sometimes works by the sun, sometimes it works by a boiler, and it's going to lead to all sorts of confusion. This is precisely what Chazal had in mind, and therefore this should be Asur Derabbanan.
Wait, are there systems, though, that will do both at the same time?
Yeah. Your system works at the same time.
Sure.
Your system works
if in, the
in theory, but in theory, you don't have it running. It's
you don't.
Sunny outside.
No, his point isn't necessarily you do it at the same time. His point.
You can't wait until all the hot water is done for the day or the end of the day.
You have to turn it on somehow, no?
Yeah, no, but it's point is saying that forget about in the summertime, but just the whole phenomenon that people use the same system.
Oh, I thought you meant that it's somehow.
Oh no, I don't think so. I don't think it's random.
Right, you can't really.
I mean it sort of can. Yeah, sure.
The day, but you wouldn't have it on during the day
unless you forget.
No, but his whole point, right?
You know, no, it's not. I thought you were saying it's an intelligent system that somehow, if there's no sun, it switches over to.
I think
like there is a differentiation generally between when it's working.
Right. So,
when it's working. So
if you click and look back over from Malamed Sefer on 219, so he brings down basically two arguments. Say this is Asr A because it just seems to cook the water through Tolat Achama, and B if Shlomo Zalman is concerned that basically people will confuse the systems, and this is why you should Asr, and that's why I don't know many people, most of these Svarim, many do not use hot water even from a Duke Shemesh. Now. Let's take a look at the arguments. Lakula on page 219 in Rav Melamed, second paragraph.
So if you turned off the refill, it would solve the problem.
It would also break.
Well, the refill does...
It would also break. It would burn out.
No, I'm sure it's some safety thing.
No, it would burn out.
I think some you can turn it off. I think there are other systems. You need to check before doing this, but I think you can. There are some that you can
turn
off.
Yeah, for sure. You can set this up.
Not necessarily, because it is smart enough that it knows that something, just like there was that. Just a question on this. You're not actually cooking on the toldos of chama. You're cooking on the toldos of a tolada of a toldos of chama. Because the water is really what's cooking. It's not what's in the pipes. The pipes are heating the water, and the cold water is being heated by the hot water.
So
it's not like it's not equivalent to the grate. It's equivalent to having something on a grate that gets heated and taking that thing off and then heating something else.
Okay, so let's take a look what he says here. It says as follows: V'yeshomim shemutal ishtamesh v'mayim chamim medud shemesh mishum a shezen nechshav chimum b'shemesh atzma. Maybe this is considered to be just cooking in the sun. V'akotim rak misayim l'rikuz karnei shemesh uklitata. Right, and the what's the word for kotim?
The panels
are just assisting in the concentration of the rays and their absorption. Okay, this is one argument that was made, and then there's another argument. If you take a look at the bottom here as well in the footnote, 1 second, I give you. I didn't bring this page. Right, then there are a few other arguments that are given as well. And one of the arguments is basically saying, well, when you open, it says, first of all, maybe this is just Tolat Achama. Tolat Achama is only Darabanan. And then maybe we saw Rav Avadia said, with water anyway, Rameko, because it's only maybe Darabanan, because it's edible raw. And then maybe you can argue and say, well, you don't really know, right, what the heat's going to happen. It's a little bit of a suffix. Maybe we'll go or not. And then you could say, well, when I do this as well, what am I doing when I open a faucet? By opening the faucet, what have I done?
You're opening a hole.
I've started a process which basically what? Leads to cold water coming in and then gets heated. Well, if it's not directly performed, what is that called? Halacha? A grumma. So maybe you could argue and say this is just a grumma. Okay, and based on these various factors, there are many who are Mako. And he quotes a number here, it says Rav Kapach. Now, again, I'm not sure what reality Rav Kapach was talking about. There's certainly Rav Avad Yosef, he quotes the Or Letzion of Ben Zion Shaul as well. And then Rav Lavin himself concludes, L'maseh, Ma'achar shemudubar ma'achloka b'divrei chachamim, u'chiyadua sveiket rabbanon l'kula, yocha odam l'haka l'ishtamash b'shibat mayim chamim du shemesh. This is very interesting. Okay? Rav Malamed basically says, listen, I think you can be somach l'kula here. Right? Against Shemirat Shabbat Kehochot's opinion. But I tell you, if you want to be machmer, but don't try to be machmer when it comes to bathing babies. I mean, what's he saying? It's basically saying if you don't want new hot water for yourself, you don't care about washing your dishes or whatever it might be, you know, it's all these things, or, you know, washing your hands in hot water or face, or it might be, that's one thing. But if you need to bathe your children on it, or, you know, whatever, do something, wash down your children on Shabbat, so no, that's not the time to be machmir and put them under cold water. No, no. Think about it, right? Or if you say it's asher, that's what it is, right? And, you know, interesting psak in his own right. So, you know, I don't know. I still haven't decided how I feel about this issue, to be honest with you. I'm very conflicted.
Is there any idea that the water, especially during the summer, is not completely cold when it's going in? Does that matter? Or just you're making it hotter?
Well, you tell me. What, should it matter?
It might actually be completely cold. It's going in, it's from the building.
Your water is not anywhere near as
cold. No, but you tell me. What, based on what you said tonight, you tell me. Should it matter? It's not completely cold, but you're taking it from, let's say, medieval, you know, moderately cold to now hot. That's enough of a change, because that's what we said, right? Or it's basically what we said tonight. Right? I still think that's
so we have a concept with food that is cooked beyond a certain point, but with liquid, it wouldn't apply.
Right, well, certainly in this case. No, I don't think it's not hot on its own. It's not boiling.
Water might be somewhat warm.
Yeah, but liquid can also boil and then cool down. And you can reboil it. Food, once it's cooked, it's cooked. There's no turning back.
Okay, we'll get into that whole discussion.
Make an argument that you can use a boiler as well if you have... If the boiler's gone off, then you have a very, very long shower so that most of the hot water's out and the cold water that comes in isn't going to get heated.
Right, you're assuming right now you can shower on Shabbat. Right? Let's assume that for now, right? Or use the water, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right. I don't think we should assume, but let's say for some reason you allow water. You need a bait. You need
a lot of washing up.
You know, you're just a sick child, or might be, or okay, washed up with some of whatever might be, right? So yes, right, that's what we said earlier. If you keep it running for long enough, by the way, let's say a person accidentally, you know, lights up their, whatever it might be, you know, they accidentally open up the hot water on Shabbat, you know, the boiler's gone, whatever it might be. So one of the suggestions is just keep it running for long enough, and then basically you stop, you know, you avoid the isser. I mean, you might waste a lot of water, but... What'd I say? Put a little soap in there, right? Got a little, you know. Okay.
What's the answer about the
channel? You know, whatever. It's Machloka Poskim. I don't know, you know, whatever. I mean.
What they would ask you is, what do you do?
I don't know. Every summer something different. I don't know. I'm looking into the Tzomet thing. I don't think it works. So I think that Tzomet thing really works.
Is it a device or is it an actual?
I don't know. I think that I saw the picture on their site that there are two models. One is it's vertical, the tank. One is it's that the tank is horizontal.
Yeah, well, that's just not storage. That's something to do with
the... You know, but the way they can get it to work somehow only works on one or the other. So I think it's said in
the first edition or the second edition.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
The emptying the water thing should work in the winter as well, theoretically. If your boiler's on.
Yeah, in theory, right? If it's operating.
If it's operating, I'm
talking
about.
Oh, for the boiler's
not operating.
Yeah.
So you had to go on, or it was on before Shabbat.
In theory, right? So the question is what the reality is. And the assumption here as well is that we don't care about the initial water going in. We'll see. There's a basis for saying that. That's right. We'll see as we go along. But. Okay, let's fold it in. Next week, we'll continue on with cooking and stuff on Shabbat. Okay. Pictures and everything this week, huh? Really?
You know, by the way, that the reason why I talked to people this week is because everyone was worried about your equipment.
What's the lesson?
Don't fly grass season.
Oh, yes, I thought you were going to say, okay.
Take a shot after it.